The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, on this Friday, December 10th, 2021, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And I have my illustrious co-hosts with me tonight, as normally on Friday night, John Holman and John McTurton.
Good evening, Pastor Ernie and all the listeners. It's really an honor to be here. Thank you.
Yes, Pastor Ernie, real honor to be here, and we want to be a blessing with truth to all the listeners.
And you two fellows have invited your two guests, Margaret Wolf and Chris Hopkins. Hello, Margaret and Chris.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
We're going to start tonight in our Bible study, and the title of this message was Hath God Said, and It Is Written, and that's from Genesis 3 and Matthew chapter 4, and the message was on current events, things that are happening, what the Bible has to say, and as we take a look at how these things, as there's nothing new under the sun, were dealt with during biblical times, and how we are to deal with the times that we're living in today. And we ended up, we started out because of the legislation in the court cases of abortion, and then we went to the apothecary or the pharmakia. In other words, here's the things that God said that we should take for healings, for diseases, and then here's what the world says we should take. So you have what God has given us, and then what the world has given us. Now, who do you think knows better? And then we went from there to borders, walls and borders. We talked about that a nation without borders is not a nation. You can't have a nation without borders. You can't have a state without borders. You can't have a county without borders. You can't have a township without borders. And indeed, your own property. If you don't have borders in your own property, property lines, then you don't have property. And so this is where we're going to pick it up tonight. And both of my guests are my co-hosts. Are very good at reading now. I think I taught them. And we're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. You fellows ready? John and John.
I am Pastor Ernie.
All right.
Verse 12.
Okay, verse 12 through 17, Matthew 4.
Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee.
McTurnan?
Sorry, Pastor Ernie, I was muted. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali.
that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying,
"The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles."
The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.
And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Well, John, you've been returning. You've been to Capernaum and Nazareth. I've been there. And we know that Capernaum's about 20 miles north of Nazareth. But he's talking about the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Okay. Here again, this is another passage in Scripture that refers to borders. And here, Jesus moves from Nazareth to Capernaum. And by the way, as we're going through this, Chris and Margaret, if you have any questions, you could just jump in and ask, okay?
Okay.
And so here, he fulfilled that prophecy in Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2 that we just read here. And so in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, again, we take a look. They would not have been towns without the borders. And so this is one of the teachings. And, of course, obviously, here, the Antichrist system, everything that God's Word, the Bible, teaches, the Antichrist world system, by the way, that's the Democratic Party or the Deathocratic Party system today, has totally adopted the Antichrist world system. They are in total opposition to every single thing that God's Word, the Bible, teaches, everything. And so we want to jump over now, fellas, to we're going to go to the climate change, you know, that we've been talking about here. AOC, is she's been nice now. She's added some years to us so that we're not going to be, when she gave us 3 years ago, only 12 years to exist, but now she's added a few more years to that. So now we have, I think, to 19 or to 2038, I think she's going to give us. So we should thank AOC, right? Anyhow, so let's take a look at what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about climate change. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 8. And go ahead, McTernan, you start this time.
"The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem.
Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?
One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever.
The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose.
The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually. And the wind returneth again according to his circuits.
All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again.
All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing."
So here now, when we take a look at this, Solomon at that time was the wealthiest man in the world. But Solomon was not full of himself. What do you think about most of our billionaires today?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I don't know about all of them, but some of them think that they're going to become gods. They're going to be immortal and gods.
Some have actually said they are gods. George Soros is one that said he is a god.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, now, when we take a look at this here, AOC gives us, I think, to 1938, but he says this. He says, the sun arises and the sun goeth down, hastens to its place and rose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about and to the north. It whirleth about continually, the wind returneth again, according to its circuits, and all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto a place from whence the rivers come, thither they run again. All things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. So he's going ahead and he's telling you also that the earth, he says in verse 4, and the earth abideth forever. Now, here, what is God's word, the Bible, teach about the earth?
In what sense, Pastor Ernie?
Well, it talks about the earth in a lot of different places in Scripture. He tells you that there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven, but he doesn't say he's going to destroy. He's going to what? Make over the earth. He's going to redo. Pardon?
He's going to cleanse it.
He's going to cleanse it.
Yeah.
Right. But
the next move of God will be by fire, Pastor Ernie. The first one he cleansed was with water. This one, the next one, will be fire.
All right, so when we look at this we see the sun also rises, the sun goes down and hastens the place, we see this, the ongoing, everything working in the circuits with the sea, the waters continue to run into the sea, but the sea never gets filled. So it's somebody is sustaining the entire universe. I mean, these things aren't happening. You would have total chaos if everything was just left alone. So there's a force. There's an extremely intelligent force and power, an extreme ultimate power that is holding everything together, and is everything consists in that force, and everything is being sustained in that force. Would you guys agree to that?
Yeah. Well, can I give you a scripture to back that up?
Sure.
We'll go to Hebrews 1:3. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
I know who that is.
I was waiting. I wasn't right. Sure, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, now here you go. See, Solomon is talking about these things, and yet he sounds a little pessimistic, doesn't he? When he says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So here, near the end of his life, he looked back over everything he had done. And most of it seemed futile to him. Why do you think that is?
Well, Pastor Ernie, he lost his way with the Lord. And then the material things of the... He was consumed with the material things, and it was empty. And he could... That's what Ecclesiastes is really... a lot of it's about that. It's just an emptiness without God.
And so what did he try to fill that emptiness with? I mean, he had all the riches, more riches. He probably had no idea how rich he was. What was it that caused him, that brought him down?
Well, it brought Samson down.
It was the women.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the women. Well, Samson, you had, and you had... David got himself in trouble with Solomon's mother, huh, Bathsheba. But that was, that was David. But if you take a look, going back, there's a reason for that. Again, the Apostle Paul talks about that over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says that the enemy attacks men in the area of pride. Even from, when we're, even as we grow up, My dog can beat your dog. My dad's bigger than your dad. My brother's stronger than you're stronger. My car is faster than your car. So that's the natural competitiveness. And so we have this thing with men with pride. But with women, the Apostle Paul says it was discernment. Who was it that talked to Adam into sinning?
Eve.
Who was it that got Abraham in all that trouble with Hagar?
Wife.
Yeah, it was his wife. Did you forget her name?
It was Sarah.
Alrighty.
It's good. You get old, you forget things.
And whose wife?
John, I'll bail you out. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah, and
crap mine.
Right. Whose wife? This should be an easy one. Whose wife told him to curse God and die?
Job.
Wasn't a good idea, was it?
Not so hot.
So why was that? Are women mean and evil, or did men fail in these cases, most of them, to take the responsibility of the headship? Adam had the full authority to throw, or to take the head off the serpent in that garden, but the serpent, Satan, he appeared. See, a lot of people get the idea that one day Satan appears in the garden and it's the next day all of this takes place. But he could have been in there for years and years and years, and then here looking and peering and waiting to find the weakness. And he found Eve's weakness in discernment. And it was because of what? What was the most beautiful creature ever made?
Serpent.
The serpent. That was Lucifer, before he became Satan. And that was, we find that in Ezekiel chapter 28. So what would attract the second most beautiful creature? Eve was the most beautiful woman. She was a prototype. What would attract the second most beautiful creature in all of existence than what? The first, right?
The first.
What was Lucifer's vesture made of? Diamonds and rubies and carbuncles, the kind of things that attract women, you know, right? And so she was attracted to that. And so now, let me ask you this. Here, the three of them had something in common, Adam and Eve and Lucifer. And do you know what that was?
The word of God?
Well, has God said, yeah, but none of them had ever seen another human before. They were the first humans that any of them had ever seen. Right? And so this was a complete and total unique situation, wasn't it?
Yes.
Boy, I hoped you guys would catch on to that. Let's go. Let's go over to.
We'll dance tonight.
We gotta go. Help them out, ladies. Help them out. Let's go over to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, and read me verses 1 through 6. Psalm 104. And read me verses 1 through 6.
Hang on, Pastor. I'm getting there.
I know you do it.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty.
What was the psalm again, Pastor Ernie?
What, 104.
Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. Stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain.
Keep going, John.
Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, and who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be moved forever.
And covers it with a deep as the garment. and the water stood above the mountains. Okay, so it looks like God had quite a hand in the creation thing, huh?
He is the creator, Christian.
Okay, so when we looking back over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we see God the Father saying, let us make man in our image. Okay, now who was he speaking to?
That was within the Godhead, Pastor.
Okay, so you had a conversation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So in the process of creation, from Genesis to Revelation, it works in one manner, okay? God the Father gives the marching orders. God the Son carries them out. And the Holy Ghost provides the power. We see that from Genesis to Revelations, okay? Now, when he made man in the image, God is a triune being. How are men triune beings?
Body, soul, and spirit.
Very good. All right, now we're going to go over to Genesis chapter 8 and read just two verses, verse 20 and 22. Genesis chapter 8, two verses 20 and 22.
Okay, 20 through 22?
Yeah, Genesis 8, 20 to 22.
And Noah builded an ark unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar.
And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done.
While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
So God says he's going to keep, as long as he keeps the earth, he's going to keep the climates, isn't he?
Yeah.
The seasons.
Very, very clear.
So he's got. So then Aoc could be wrong, huh?
Oh, Aoc's not right at all. Totally wrong.
When you say she's not right, boy, you're not kidding. Now, let's go over to Hosea chapter 4 and read me verses 1 through 3. Hosea 4, 1 through 3.
Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land.
By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood.
Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. And the beast of the field and the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea shall also be taken away.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question. You're going to think this could be a hard one here. This could be deep. Okay. It's number one, two, and three. Okay. One. Okay. The environment is being destroyed by one, fossil fuels, two, SUVs, or three, man's sin.
Man's sin.
It's right here, isn't it?
Yeah.
By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. That doesn't really have much to do with fossil fuels at all, does it?
Not too much.
Do you think... Do you think if Biden understood that instead of shutting down our pipelines and giving us gas prices now, I'm paying, right now I paid $3.30 a gallon. I was paying $1.89 when the real President Trump was still in office. And so do you think if Biden knew that lying and stealing and swearing and killing and committing adultery, that's what's causing the destruction of the environment, he might change the Democratic Party platform?
No, Pastor Ernie.
So
they are ideologues. They are ideologues to sin and rebellion against God.
All righty. I got one more passage we want to cover here, and that's in Luke chapter 22. Read me verses. This is dealing with the Second Amendment. Read me verses 36 to 38.
All right, 36 through 38.
Mm-hmm.
And said he unto them, but now he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one.
For I say unto you that this is that is written, must yet be accomplished in me. Did I skip a verse? No, I didn't. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end.
And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough.
Okay, so now, when he told them to go and sell their garments and buy a sword, was that so that they could be offensive and be like, let the January 6th people, the Patriots, were accused of? Or was he telling them that the time is coming, you're going to need to defend each other? And did he know that it was time that he was going to teach a lesson, and the lesson was about Malchus and Peter cutting off his ear? And did he make sure that, was he providing, making sure that Peter had a sword?
Well, I think it's exactly, you made a statement that wasn't a question.
Yeah. All righty. I just wanted to show the ladies how smart you guys are. I know I'm impressed. So,
all right. Now, Pastor Ernie, I want a grade. I want a grade for reading and answering questions. I want a grade.
I'll give you both A's tonight. You did very well.
Yay. Oh, I don't think he got an A.
Yeah, well.
Pastor Ernie, I had a cover for him.
Yeah.
I had a cover for him.
Okay. See.
I had a glitch.
Okay. I'm not going to even mention to the ladies how sometimes you guys really mess up. we just won't even bring that up. Let's go to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Mean estate where ox and This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
So bring him incense gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of Kings. Salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
What child did this so lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels great with anthem sweet while shepherds watch a keeping.
That beautiful voice was my dear old friend S.D. Chrisman, who's going home to be with the Lord, and accompanied by Brian Park and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. And now I'm going to read something very quickly, and then Margaret and Chris, would you two tell me about what happened at the Jake Corman event in Belafonte? But first, let me read this very quickly, because this has to do with that. Breaking, huge! Republicans in Pennsylvania Senate identify group they'll hire to perform forensic audit of the 2020 election. The 2020 election results in Pennsylvania were severely corrupt. Boy, do we know that. The amount of fraudulent activity before, during, and after the 2020 election was shocking. For example, we know that 200,000 more ballots were received than were sent out during the election. Okay, I'm just going to stop right there. And ladies, tell me what happened with at the Jake Corman event in Belafonte.
Well, first of all, Pastor Ernie, thank you for inviting us on to the show and letting us tell our story and what we've seen on the ground here in central Pennsylvania.
Thank you for coming.
We appreciate it. We're both constituents of Senator Corman and our representative for most of us in this area is Kerry Benninghoff. They are both leaders in both houses in our Pennsylvania House and Senate. And we were kind of, a lot of us had worked at the, I'll give you a little background information first. A lot of us had worked on the campaign for Donald Trump and other Republican in our races over here. And we had been pretty upset when we saw some of the things that were happening with some of the people who were supposed to be representing us in our Senate and in our House on some of the bills going forward. Of note, probably the most ones that I kind of was most irritated by is like them giving themselves a raise in the middle of the night in 2015, led by Senator Corman. Watching Act 77 get passed in Pennsylvania, which opened a big door to all those mail-in votes that they were able to, I believe, in my personal opinion, from the evidence that I've seen, to steal an election in 2020. And shortly after that election, a lot of us got together. We're not an organized group. It's just a bunch of grassroots. And we got together and we had a meeting. And the meeting was formed because we had become aware of actual election fraud that had occurred in Center County. And some of that fraud included a friend of ours, me and Margaret, had gotten a list that anyone can buy of the voter information for like $20 or $25. And they put her and another friend, I believe, put it into a spreadsheet. And this is how I understood it. Margaret, you correct me if I'm wrong. But they had found that these people were, during COVID in 2020, that they were going into our nursing home when our loved ones are dying and we couldn't go in and see them. Democrats were going into our nursing homes, and they were harvesting votes. And they would take an identity of a potential voter that wanted to do a mail-in, and they would take that identity and they would duplicate it and make four or five more identities with, like, a different name. So you might have a Mary June Brown, and then they would have a Mary July Brown, Mary August Brown. And I'm not even being facetious. This is the names that they actually chose with different. Is that how you remember it, Margaret?
Yes. Pretty close. I think she told me that there were some that were Wednesday, June, Tuesday, July. It was something like that. Very, very similar to what you said.
So we actually saw this evidence in the spreadsheet. All of us that wanted to see it got a chance to see it. And also we became aware of our drop boxes that was that were bought with Zuckerbucks. We were the second per capita in the state of Pennsylvania to receive that private funding to help steal an election. So they ended up putting these drop boxes out. And what we had found out from the sheriff's department, one of the deputies had given us information that people were walking up to these boxes, not just, you know, and this is central Pennsylvania, and in Philadelphia style, they were like shoving six, seven, you know, ballots into these boxes when they're only supposed to have one vote. And the deputy that informed me of that directly told me that, you know, they tried to stop them and they would just shove them in the box and walk away. And so this is how our election was stolen in Center County. And this evidence was brought directly to our two legislators, and they saw it firsthand. These two same legislators, you know, this is at a meeting about a week after Gettysburg, felt that they didn't, you know, that they hadn't seen any evidence, and yet neither one of them took the time to, you know, zoom in or drive to Gettysburg and listen to some evidence. So we had about 60 patriots gathered for a meeting, and we confronted our legislators about, you know, this is wrong, what's happening, and we want you to hold a special session. We want this looked at. We feel our election was stolen. And they still continue to go to the papers and to say that we're not seeing any signs of fraud after we showed it to them. So you can imagine, as grassroots, we were not happy. Margaret, do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, I believe that Mr. Benninghoff spent several hours the day before our meeting with one of our members and went over that spreadsheet extensively. And my understanding was that Mr. Corman saw it less than an hour before our meeting, and yet at the meeting they were saying they saw no evidence of fraud. So totally ridiculous.
Yeah. And so they had a pretty heated room of about 60 of like-minded patriots that were none too happy. And they got a pretty good look at quite a few of us, and they absolutely knew the names of a few of us. So move forward to we have an election now in Pennsylvania for governor, and we have some candidates coming forward. And we've been vocal all the way along, looking to have a forensic audit in Pennsylvania. And that's one of the biggest things that we've pressed, especially Mr. Corman, on. And we had seen posted on public venues, such as We Are Central Pennsylvania website, also in the Lock Haven newspaper online, Facebook posts, that all of us could see. We saw that he was going to have what he called a Restoring Freedom listening tour to step off his gubernatorial campaign. So that was a good example, a good opportunity for all of us patriots to go to our constituents, to go to our legislator. And if it's a listening tour, I actually personally thought, well, this there may be some Q&As in here where we may be able to ask or address our legislator on some items. So we all got tickets. We didn't use any pseudonames. We put in our real names. There weren't actually tickets. There were reservations. And I would say I knew of at least 12 people, 12 or 15 people that went to it. But when we arrived at the event, a bunch of us met in the lot, and we had different plans for what we wanted to do that night. You know, we debated, you know, do we want to have signs like, you know, voicing our free speech? We had these T-shirts made up over the summertime, and they're called Trader Jake shirts. They're blue with white print. It says Trader Jake in the kind of like Trader Joe's store. So it's kind of like a logo that says Trader Jake. And those shirts, we debated wearing those outside.
Excuse me, Chris. We have to make that clear that it's Trader, T-R-A-I-T-O-R. Not
right.
Trader, like trading goods. Yeah.
Right. Excellent. So we some of us were wearing those shirts. And in the lot, we were deciding what we were going to do. It was too dark. And I believed a little dangerous because of the windy roadway. We weren't going to do any protesting. So we kind of decided that in the lot. We're not going to be out here on the dark roadway protesting. Let's just go in. Let's cover up our shirts. And let's just go in, listen, and ask questions if we got an opportunity to do so, which is our right. Even the shirts, you know, if we wanted to be blazing them coming in, they're not obscene. They're First Amendment protected speech. But we didn't want to be contentious either. We wanted to be called upon, possibly, if there was an opportunity to ask a question. So we covered them. We went in, and me personally, I think I was one of the ones towards the front of the line. And I had seen a lot of people when I walked in. I saw two guys, or at least one guy who I knew. It was Chief Salyards from Spring Township Police Department. A really nice guy. I have a lot of respect for him. And he had a gentleman with him. They were in plain suits. It's not typical for police officers to get political, so I kind of assumed that they were probably working. Just said hi to him briefly, and we walked in. As we got towards the table, I kind of saw stickers that were, you know, for governor, I believe, stickers. I wasn't really interested. So I walked past them, and as I got up towards the front, my path was blocked by a reddish man we later found out was William Sieg, nephew of Mr. Corman. Didn't know that at the time. But he blocked my path, and he said, you need to check in. And I was like, oh, okay, yep, sure. And I backed up, and then I saw there was a list, and I went and I gave my name, checked in my three friends. Margaret and other people were behind us, and as I got checked in, I started to go back to go up the stairs where the venue was on the second floor. As I approached again, the same gentleman, Mr. William Sieg, nephew of Mr. Corman, stepped in front of my path, and he seemed a little agitated, and he said, show me your shirt. Now, they could see these blue T-shirts by the collar above my sweater. I was kind of shocked. It was obviously not a request. I was a little intimidated at that moment. And I'm a pretty compliant person when I'm fraught with, you're going to do something. So I, you know, opened up my coat, lifted up my sweater, and showed him the Trader Jake shirt. At that very moment, he yelled, you're out of here, while he's grabbing my right arm with both of his arms, and he started to spin me out. And at that moment, I kind of said, whoa, 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 who are you? Are you like the manager or the owner? I've done nothing wrong. And he said, no, you're out of here. You're going. And I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. I have a right to be in here. I'm here to see my legislator. And this shirt is not offensive. It was covered. And we have a right to come here via First Amendment. You're literally seizing me, violating the Fourth Amendment. And because I see some of my friends are going in and other people that I know, you're violating the 14th Amendment unless you can tell me what law or ordinance I have violated. And he let go of me because I yanked my arm free, and I immediately got on the phone and called non-emergency to get a police officer there. I'll leave it to Margaret on what she saw at that moment.
So I was a couple people behind Chris. So I heard part of the conversation, but I was also watching for my turn in line to give my name. And I absolutely remember her having an earlier discussion with this fellow. And as I'm approaching the table, I hear that it's getting, the voices are being raised, mostly his. I didn't really hear Chris arguing with him other than to just say, hey, wait a minute, you know. But as I approached the table, gave my name, and the woman said to me, oh, that's fine, you're on the list, go ahead up. And as I started to step to the side of the table, another gentleman came down the stairs and pointed his finger at me and said, wait a minute, show me your T-shirt. And I said, excuse me? And he said, I want to see what's on your T-shirt. So I had a cardigan on. I just opened the cardigan, and he said, oh, no, you can't come in here. I'm sorry, I am. Hold on just one second. There we go.
One thing I'll
My battery was running on my...
One thing I'll tell you, gentlemen, is being women, I don't know if you guys would have felt differently if it had been you guys, but being a woman in a crowded bar at the foot of some stairs, being asked to remove clothing so that they can see the print on the shirt that wasn't even visible, that was very disconcerting for me and very embarrassing. I mean, I was, in the word, mortified that I was being asked to do that. And I'm sure I was beat red. I was not aware of some of the other things that was happening with the other women because I was busy trying to get dispatch to get some police action there. I did call non-emergency, and I was hoping that the wait wouldn't be too long because I was not going to leave that place. We had no reason to leave that place. When I asked if he was the manager or the owner, the nephew told me, no, I'm with the Corman campaign. We later identified the gentleman that had asked Margaret to show her under, you know, shirt. We later identified him as Stephen T. Miller, who works with the Republican Campaign Committee, I believe. But he has been spotted with Mr. Corman quite a bit. And apparently from other statements that have come in, he was the one that asked numerous people to leave. While William Sieg, the nephew of Corman, was dealing with me. So we have numerous people that were being asked to leave that had violated no law, violated no ordinance. We weren't even protesting, which that would have been lawful. But we weren't chanting. There was no megaphones, no anything. Margaret, are you able to come back?
Yes, I think so. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Yeah, so absolutely. The other gentleman, Stephen Miller, asked several of us to leave. He actually got in my face and said, you know, what, are you going to make some trouble here? And I just looked at him and said, well, what do you think I'm going to do? And he said, no, just get out. And that's when I looked over. Just at that time is when Mr. Sieg grabbed you, and I remember very quick, because I had been watching to see what was going on, you saying to him, please take your hands off of me, and rather than take his hands off of you, he started shoving you. I think it was quite clear that none of that was appropriate behavior on their part.
Well, Pastor Ernie, can I interject something here?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
it's significant what she just said. The question posed to them, are you going to make some trouble? They hadn't made any trouble, and they have already invaded their privacy, and now they're asking them, are they going to make trouble? Obviously, they hadn't made any trouble.
You know what? I think it might be a good idea to tell our listeners all over the country about this Jake Corman and what all this has to do with the voter fraud and the election fraud, because people really need to know. Now, Senator Matriciano was trying to get an actual audit, and what happened was these guys don't want an actual audit. They've hired this company, Invoice Sage. Well, we're coming up to a break, and then when we come back from the break, I think what we need to do is go back and talk about, I want to read you this here article about this company, and then get your opinion, all of you, and then find out who is running against this Mr. Corman for governor, because, you know, this guy obviously, everything I've heard, you know, is, you know, just smacks of rhino. And those are the people that have cost us more. Those are the people that did not stand with our real legitimate president, the actual president of the United States, President Donald Trump. Okay. So when we come back from that, from the break here quickly, I want you to start from the beginning and talk about that, because people really need to get a good picture, because we need an actual, real, legitimate audit that people can trust. People have lost all confidence. You know, we've got a lot of corruption here in Ohio, but not nearly. I don't think it's not nearly as deep as it is there in Pennsylvania. Okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say this very quickly before we go to a break, folks, because this coming because of the passing of Ed Corsi and one of Doers of the Word Baptist Church members. Our normal class Sunday service, we normally have a class of 4, a class of 5, and then the evening service is 6. There still will be an evening service of 6, but the 4 and 5 o'clock classes will be canceled for this coming Sunday. So we'll have the normal starting at 9 o'clock with praise and worship, 9:30 with an in-depth Bible study, 11:15 with a morning service, and then it'll be the evening service. It'll be at 6 p.m., and that's at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. We're an actual New Testament church. We are not a 501c3 corporation. We are an actual, unregistered, New Testament, Bible-believing church. So there you go. Now, we're coming up to a break. When we come back after the break, we're going to pick it up where we left off, because they really need to know the whole story. So we'll be right back after this. Don't go away. There's a whole lot more to come.
Light the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.